Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, it's Jamie Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida, and just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, y'all, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Marin Graves of MarinGraves.com, and also Marin Graves, the Gypsy Grounded in Reality. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a few moments. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Kat.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi.
Amy Lee.
Yes,
ma'am. How are you today?
I'm doing just super duper, ma'am. I'm super duper. The sun
Good.
Is shining and spring is coming on us here just in time for St. Patrick's Day. And the butterflies are flying, and I'm ready for springtime to come. So flowers are starting
That's
to bloom,
great.
And birds are singing, and everything frisky is in the air, if you know what I mean.
Oh, great.
So.
Frisky is good. Frisky is very good. All
uh-huh.
right. Well, I'm glad to hear it. All right, well, things here at Lucky Mojo have been hopping and popping.
Right.
We got the first of five books scheduled for the May workshop event, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. The first of five of them has gone to the printer, and that is A Deck of Spells by Professor Charles Porterfield. And if you all follow us on Facebook, you'll have seen a picture of the cover. And if you follow us in the forum, there is now a forum thread. It says A Deck of Spells book, questions and answers. Ask your questions. Charles will answer. And it's also been announced elsewhere on the web. So we're going to be working on our next book to go to the printer. Book's done, but the next book that we'll be announcing will be Kai Armand's book, Deliverance, on Uncrossing Spells. So we're hatching those little eggs now, and it's really been a lot of wonderful work. I want to give a special thank you to Grey Wolf Townsend for doing our covers, and to Charles Porterfield for staying up late hours and working on proofreading and stuff and helping us with all of the books that we do as a proofreader. He's just a great volunteer. And, of course, big, big, big thanks to Nagashiva because he is in charge of book production and getting the books to the printer, which is in Canada. And so the look at that, Papa Newt. I just got to give a nice little shout-out to the chat room. I love you, chat room. I love you, Papa Newt. Papa Newt was, like, on top of it. Here's the Deck of Spells Lucky Mojo forum thread, and he just posted it. Oh, man, such a good guy, Papa Newt. I love you. All right, so we are working very hard on these books. If I'm unavailable at the shop, it's because of my late hours trying to get these little things together and running on fumes sometimes. But this happens every year. I always say I'm only going to do 3 books. I always end up with 5, it seems. And I always tell people they're going to be turned in by January 1st this time, but they all start coming in around March 1st. Don't even ask. That's just the way of the world. That's the way that publishing goes. So we have just keep watching our Lucky Mojo Curio Company Facebook page, or keep watching the newsletter, which we have gotten the wonderful assistance of Kai Armand to work on these newsletters to get us caught up and ahead of ourselves. We're also working on the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Of course, the books are for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, but they will go on sale to the public the day after the festival closes. When you buy a ticket to the festival, you will get the books for free. For each day, there's a different set of books that go with the workshops. And if you get a 2-day ticket, you'll get all 5 books, along with the 5 workshops that go with them. So we try to give you a nice, good deal when you get your ticket. Now, they will also be sold through Amazon. And that's, some people prefer to buy there. And that's fine with us. We sell wholesale to Amazon. You can also ask your local occult shop, hey, do you carry Lucky Mojo books? And that'll be fine, too. Now, I do have a question. Can people in the chat room pose? Someone is saying that there's an echo, and our board op, Nagashiva, says he hears no echo. Professor Porterfield says no echo. All right, so we're going to have to assume that the echo people are having personal computer issues, and it's not on the system. Good. Thank you, Papa Newt. Thank you, Professor Porterfield. Okay. All right. Oh, got a whole string of no echo. Love you guys. Thanks. Oh, my God, they're just coming in. No echo. Everybody's voting. Okay. Echo people, go away. Refresh your browser. We'll be fine. While you're gone, we won't do anything real important. We'll take it slow. Okay. All right. Now, I want to bring in my co-host, Conjurman Ali. It's been, a couple of days since you and I last touched bases. How are things?
I know. It's been literally 24 hours. About.
I know.
Things are wonderful. Still busy as usual. I was on Kai's show yesterday on Sacred Ground, one of the great shows that's produced by the Lucky Mojo Radio Network. Very excited to be on there for part 2 of talking about geomancy and the djinn. So if you guys missed that out, definitely head over to the archives, download it, and check it out. And as always, it was fun. We had a wonderful question by you and others. So I enjoyed that very much, and I love talking to you today.
Well, it was a great show, and let's not just let Conjurman Ali sit here and toot his own horn. I'm going to toot for him as well. That show and the previous part 1, working with Arabic djinns, and were phenomenal shows. Kai's show on Sacred Ground is on Saturday afternoons, and it is an amazing show of about worldwide folklore and the environment and shamanic journeying and inner work. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic show. He has good guests, a lot of good guests, and Ali's two-parter is definitely one for the books. Download them both in the archives. Part 1, Arabic djinns, and part 2 is more Arabic djinns, but mostly about, if I can say it right, Hat El Ramal, which is geomancy, Arabic geomancy. And it is he gave a tremendous amount of information. Ali, you are a real scholar and a real worker, and that's what makes this so amazing. Ali told us a little bit about his own family background, which we don't always hear about.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. But I have to give credit to Kai. He does put on such a fantastic show. I make a point of not missing that show, of every week tuning in to the best of my ability. I don't always make it, but I always go back and listen to the archives. He puts on an amazing, amazing program.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a good show. And it goes into the wider ranges, not just hoodoo, like this show tends to focus on. As you all know, there are other shows that focus on the Afro-Caribbean tradition. Kai is the worldwide tradition of folklore. Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff, including also other issues that are dear to him, and then he brings in guests. It's a lovely, lovely show. All right, well, we have our own guest, as we do every week. So I'm going to say hi to Marin Graves.
Welcome,
hello.
Marin.
Hello. Hi, Conjure Man and Kat and Tammy Lee out there. Thank you.
Right. Well, I'm going to just give you a little introduction here for the people who are listening, and then we're going to let you talk a little bit about yourself. Marin Graves is a person who I've known for a number of years. She lives nearby, not too close, but in Northern California, but up east in the Sierra foothills, almost into the Sierras. And a card reader, a tarot card reader, fantastic person. Marin has taught workshops at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and she is working on building her own gypsy wagon. With her father is building this, and this is going to be a gypsy wagon that can be towed by a vehicle, right?
Absolutely, yes. Goodness, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to have it ready for this year's Heritage Festival. I think I have about 6 months left to go. So far, it's been a two-year project, and definitely a little in over my head with this, but I've learned so much about construction, that's for sure.
Well, it is a Vardo not pulled by horses. I mean, it could be pulled by horses, I guess, if you had some horses to pull it, right?
Well, yes, I could. My intent behind this was to be able to travel to different festivals, to use this as my mobile office, and then when I'm not using it on the road, it will be parked in my yard, and that will be my home office, in addition to keeping my downtown parlor. So I have little racks on the inside to hold all of my spice jars. I've got a bed area. I've taken the concept of the original traditional gypsy wagon Vardo and modernized it using my purple and turquoise colors. So it's a modern flair.
It's amazing. And again, Marin has been posting photos of this on Facebook. Do you have photos at your maringraves.com site?
I just posted a link, actually, in the chat right now that has all of it. I'll post it again just so it's right there on top. I have a folder on my Facebook page, and so the best place to go would be my Facebook page, Marin Graves.
Yeah, so it's MarinGraves, all one word, at Facebook.com/Marin Graves. And when you get
correct
there, you'll find her, just go to her photos and then look to her photo album. It's great. Great stuff. And while you're there, you can, you know, follow her and like her and get to know her.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I am so impressed with this, because when you first told me about this, it was like a dream. It was like, oh, wouldn't it be lovely? But you're making the dream. You're really making it. It's
yes,
just amazing.
When I first decided to do this, actually, it was close to 10 years ago, and I was printing out and hanging up pictures to decorate my office of all of these old gypsies and wagons. And as I was doing so, I looked at these and thought, wouldn't that be so cool? Well, I was nowhere in the position to do that at that time, but a couple years ago I was. And so that's when the idea popped back up and I was told it was time. And away I went with it. And thank goodness for the tiny home movement now, because years ago when I was trying to research this, there were no blueprints or templates. I actually had to hire an engineer to engineer it all because of the weight and the steel frame. I had to hire a steel manufacturing company to make all of these specific cuts and label it so my dad, who was the welder for this project, could put it all together like a puzzle. I mean, I have done every step of the way, which is why it's taken so much longer than anticipated. But now, I mean, you can Google gypsy wagon on Pinterest and you'll see 100, but several years ago, I really think it was just before the economy and when all the tiny homes started popping up, you couldn't find this. The only ones
right
you saw were
English. This and, you know, where would people get plans, and would you have to send off to England to a museum,
yes,
and get measured drawings? Because some of the museums had measured drawings or whatever they're going to sell for a bunch of bucks. But again, that didn't go with the idea of the steel frame and the kind of roadability that you were looking for, which is literally to have this thing be able to go on the highway down the road, not as a special load with a horse. And I am so pleased to see you manifesting and living your dream. And I'm going to say something about this, too, because this does relate to our panel discussion.
It does,
which is,
yes.
Which is money manifestation. A lot of people, you know, come to hoodoo because they have a problem, and that is a true and righteous reason to turn to hoodoo. You've been jinxed, you've been crossed, you're being held back, you're being blocked.
Mm.
But and we all have clients and customers for whom that is how they present. But a good root worker has to carry a person beyond the Band-Aid stage, is what I call it. You know what I mean? Beyond the triage, the ER, the suturing, and the Band-Aid, we as root workers need to step up to the plate and become life coaches, counselors, helpers, and in some ways manifestors for our clients. A good root worker, a reader, will read for you, but not try to suck you into endless replaying of your sorrows, losses, and tragedies, but to bring you up and out to where you really want to go. Folks, if you have a root worker who keeps on telling you, now you're being thrown for by so-and-so, and, oh, these people are attacking you, and you've fallen into the black hole of endless spiraling root work, what you want to do is find a root worker who's going to get you out of there. And when you get your hands right above the edge of that pit, they're going to give you that little push up and get you back on solid ground with society currently in progress and get you to where you need to go. So whether it's love or money or the regaining of your health or having an expansive outlook on life, that's what a root worker is ultimately there for, to help you negotiate. And if the trouble comes up, you know, fend it off, right? Now, money manifestation is one of the biggest problems that people come to us with. And why is that? Well, first of all, the money distribution in our American economy, and most of our clients are Americans, is increasingly polarized between the haves and the have-nots. The haves now being called the 1%ers, and, you know, there you go. But they are diverging. The middle class is disappearing,
mm-hmm.
and there is the very, very poor, which I call the permanently warehoused poor, or what Karl Marx would have called the lumpen proletariat.
Yes, Marx.
You know, Marx was a distant, not too distant relative of mine.
I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, right. No, of course. But also the Marx brothers, by the way, the comedians. I mean, you know, we're trapped between all the Marxes. People always make jokes. Karl Marx, the Marx brothers, they actually were related. And I'm related to all of them. And LaRue Marx of the Lucky Heart company made hoodoo supplies. He was related to them all, too. Yeah. Yeah, and he married an Epstein, Rebecca Epstein, and she's related to me, too. I'm related to the Epsteins. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Okay, so Karl Marx, lumpen proletariat. And which some people call the undeserving poor, the perpetually poor. I call them the warehoused poor or the poor in the matrix. And some people call this the welfare to prison system.
Yes.
There are many names for this. This is a condition in which the powers that be, and I do not mean our government, I mean the powers that be, meaning the military-industrial complex, have decided that it is more economical to let people breed and reproduce, because that way you can sell them things, and then to subsidize the sales to them of cheap, badly made goods, and warehouse them in very small apartments that are in big apartment blocks, and to supplement their income with, you know, food or food stamps, whatever, like, and then give them entertainment devices like television, the internet, whatever, and then let them sit on a couch, and then basically they consume calories for X number of years. It doesn't matter if their lifespan is shortened because they're consuming high fructose corn syrup. That doesn't matter because they're breeding at a phenomenal rate, and they're really just being warehoused like rats in cages. Okay, that's the matrix. And the energy that is being harvested off of them is not being harvested like in the movie The Matrix, you know, sort of a, you know, fabulous, you know, energetic special effect. It simply is calories in, calories out, and the idea is to have them expend fewer calories, take in more calories, become obese, sedentary, feed them, and then, you know, when they shuffle off the mortal coil, pass them on. By then, they've produced more children. Those children will need so many petroleum gallons per lifetime. Now, stepping aside from that, this is why money work is so essential to people who want to get off the matrix. You have to have a source of income, and it has to be your own. And it's not about morality, even, like, you must work and be a good citizen. And other people going, hey, I don't have to work. I can just sit there and take in the calories. Well, yes, you could, but you're going to be basically a lab rat. You know, that's all you're going to be. So if you want to manifest money, if you want to get off the couch and get out of the matrix and get out of the welfare to prison system, and baby, they don't care whether you're on your living room couch or in prison. It makes no difference to them, right? All they're trying to do is push petroleum calories down your throat. So to manifest money, oh, did the Karl Marx come out too boldly there? I think it did. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. For those of us who are critical theorists and historians, that's not enough, Marx. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, the point is, if you don't want to be poverty-stricken all your life, and you can't aspire to being part of the 1%, because that's a little specialty rules club that you get by entry only, you have to live as what I call a perpetual freelancer. You're selling your services, you're making money. And with that money, you can buy things of your own choice rather than have to get the things that are pumped down into you through the giant Walmart, Kmart, Target complex of branch of the military-industrial complex. Okay. Having said that, let's talk about money manifestation. I'm going to turn this over to Marin. I know you probably didn't expect that, did you?
No, I didn't, but it gave me a little bit more time to think of this from a different perspective. So thank you.
Well,
the listeners will have two different perspectives.
Okay. So money manifestation is often done through the idea of the law of attraction. And that's how I work. And I'm going to briefly say what the law of attraction is, then I'm going to turn it over to you. Law of attraction is, you know, that which you wish for, the universe will bring to you. That which you affirm, the universe will manifest around you. Manifestation magic or law of attraction magic has been around for many years, but it particularly came to the fore during the 19th century, sometimes called the secret, sometimes called new thought, sometimes called the law of attraction. And I love that way of working because it empowers you to attract money. All right. You take it away, Marin. You tell us what's on your mind.
Well, thank you. That is actually a perfect segment into what I was going to talk about, because laws of attraction was a big chunk of this. And I think the hardest thing for a lot of people is not even implementing some of the laws of attraction principles, but first and foremost, having the proper mindset to be able to believe, really believe, not just think, but believe that you have a right to make money or that you have a right to abundance. And there is a lot of there's scriptures, blessed are the meek, and I mean there's a lot of programming that we have received that the more humble we are, the better we are. Well, I don't subscribe to that idea because I don't believe that our source of energy, our source of money, our vibration is limited. I believe that it's limitless, and I think that there's no way that I'm taking from you, Miss Kat, if I am creating more money for myself. It's abundance for everybody. It's a win-win for everybody. So if you can get your mind first to that place of being able to say, I'm going to do this, I can do this, I will do this, I am doing this, then that's your step one. After that, then you can implement the laws of attraction concepts. And I think that I will simplify it for those that don't know how to utilize those as much. I see the laws of attraction as if it's vibrational. If you look at a color line and you see the vibration and frequency of ultraviolet rays, and if you see the vibration and frequency of red rays, they're two different frequencies. So if I'm wanting to manifest money and I am looking at the frequency of I don't have, I wish I had, I need $1,000 to pay this bill, let's just say I'm focusing on the red ray, where the money actually focuses on the ultraviolet ray. So do you see how I'm not tapping into the correct energy? If instead of me looking at the energy of I want, and instead I have, I am abundant, I am happy, you are now aligning yourself with that different energy, which is what's going to bring in the money. So So instead of focusing more so on I hope and I wish and I'm making, if you could just look at it in terms of I have, that's when the explosion happens. That's when you will start to notice the difference. And it's so crucial. It's how it works. It's the only way it works. And if you feel that you've tried the laws of attraction principles before, get the book, get the Esther Hicks book, get a Laws of Attraction book, and really understand it from a deeper level, because a lot of people mistake that.
Yeah, there's a couple of really good books, and I agree with you. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon
mm-hmm.
Hill, famous book, still just as good as it ever was. I learned a little kind of self-affirming mantra when I was young. It was just taking inventory of yourself. When you wake up in the morning and you go, oh, Lord, another day in the salt mines, take an inventory. I think, I am, I feel, I express, I have, I attract, I get, you know. Think of the things that you have. And it will put your mind away from the sense of I don't have, I want, I need, you know, all those downward trending ideas. When I go to the shop sometimes and I'm working there and I've got to come out, like, to the radio show, I'll say to people before I go, is there anything else you have, think, want, feel, need, or have me manifest for you before I go? Because I am always presenting as a manifester, and that is what keeps me working. Manifesting and manifesting prosperity for people, manifesting accomplishment for people is part of what I am here to do. If they come along with me and want to work in my shop and want to be part of this thing, I may not be the answer to all their questions and all their problems and solve everything for them, but I will show them how to manifest money, because that's what I know how to do. And I affirm it every day. I affirm it. You know, we are prosperous. We are doing this, and we're all in this together. The whole group of us who are working, we've pointed ourselves forward, and we're going to accomplish. oh, in the chat room, I just got to give a little laugh here. Joby Magana says, like Charlie Sheen says, winning. Winning is one of those. But winning, I got to say something about winning is different than manifesting. And this goes back to something I was taught a long time ago by a wise old African-American root worker who had a shop in Oakland, California. There are two kinds of spells, he said, and you've all heard me say this before, two kinds of spells. The farmer spell, which is a prayer. You plant your seeds, and then you do magic to make them grow and have the rain come at the right time. It's prayer. It's there's nobody but you and God and the seeds, right? That's it. And then the other is the boxer's spell or the boxer's prayer. Lord, let me go in the ring and knock that other guy until he falls down unconscious, and then I get the prize. So winning actually implies losing. And we're not asking to win and have someone else lose. We're asking our Heavenly Father, we're asking the universe, we're asking the divine source to grow things for us so that we may harvest. It's a difference.
Yes. And can I make one more comment, too?
Sure.
I love the fact that you do not have to be a seasoned root worker to be able to implement simple money drawing techniques. I've reached out to a lot of friends today that are not hoodoo practitioners to welcome them in to listen. And you can do something as simple as a container spell with sugar or honey. I mean, you really don't have to have a whole lot of knowledge in spell work and hoodoo to be able to be successful in money manifestation.
Yeah, and I'm just going to give a little shout out here. Nagashiva is going on about game theory, and I just got to say, yes, Shiva, the finite game has no win-win. The infinite game has win-win, and he says, see Carse on finite and infinite games. And Carse is C-A-R-S-E. Look it up online. And this is one of the reasons that Nagashiva and I did so well when we first met. We both understood. He understood it through game theory. I understood it through the old law of attraction and new thought movement. But we're on the same page here. Now, Ali, you put yourself in here. How do you work with money manifestation?
You know, this is all very fascinating to me because it's slightly different from the way I think about this, and I find the law of attraction fascinating. My experience with it is more through the Kabbalion and the Hermetic axioms, more so than its kind of modern manifestation of the law of attraction. I do find it thoroughly fascinating, but my approach is to take Solomon, King Solomon, as the prototype. So mm-hmm. I come, and this is because of my cultural background. So in my cultural background, you can be the happiest person in the world and positive, they'll be poor, right? But what we view money as, and the way I was taught, is money is a spirit, and wealth is a spirit. And the spirit must serve you at the end of the day. And when you reach that type of mentality, one of the things that I find in poverty is that wealth and money becomes the master, and we, the worker, become the servant. We strive to achieve it. We strive to get it. And so my approach is to flip that, to inverse that, where we become the master and money and wealth becomes the spirit that serves us. In that way, the work that I do is to draw in that spirit into my life, bring in money, that's money attraction work, then to take that money and take that wealth and put it to work for me, as Solomon took the demons and put them to work at building the temple. So money is not to be just drawn, but then it must work for me. It must replicate itself. It must duplicate itself. It must draw further money in. It must create a wealth base. And so I guess my approach would be very Epicurean in that sense. Draw in money, move outside of the system. The money works for you. It creates its own sources of income. It creates mm-hmm. more of itself, and then you're able to move outside of the system. Mm-hmm. You live that third path, right? You're no longer corporate owner nor proletariat worker. You're able to go and live a life of leisure while money does its own thing. And this is how I've lived my life. It's why I don't work. I haven't worked my late teens. I have leisure that makes money for me.
Right, I call it exactly. I call it the bohemian lifestyle, the life of the perpetual freelancer, the artist, the troubadour, the poet. I have a question. You mentioned the Kabbalion, and you said that it was not so much New Thought. I got news for you, baby.
No, it is New Thought. It is New Thought.
The Kabbalion is
new to me.
Whoa. No, sweetheart. You're going to love this because this is truth, and I'm laying it on you. The Kabbalion is supposedly written by, quote, three initiates, unquote. But it actually was written by our old friend, guess who?
Atkinson,
William Walker Atkinson.
William Walker Atkinson
was the guy who wrote the book, The Law of Attraction, right?
Right.
So the Kabbalion was his attempt to dress up the Law of Attraction in a, quote, Kabbalistic, that's why he called it Kabbalion.
Right.
He also wrote books that were done in a pseudo-Hindu form, as well as, you know, with his Swami Panchadasa and his, you know,
he really
all that
was a master of pseudonyms. He really was.
Oh, the man was a master of pseudonyms and wrote over 200 books. So the Kabbalion is
extremely prolific.
Yeah, right. He was prolific. But he would actually work from different philosophical standpoints and write the same thing, the same theorem,
right,
from a different standpoint. So now we have the Hindu take on it. So the Kabbalion is his pseudo-Jewish take on New Thought.
Right.
But I just had to throw that in and give that guy credit, William Walker Atkinson.
Yep.
He's
and
not the man who invented
New
Thought.
From the 19th century, early 20th century psychism phenomenon. A lot of his mentalism is from that perspective.
He also has books on mental thought and psychism. He also ghost wrote at least one set of books for C. Alexander, the guy who founded the Crystal Silence League. He ghost wrote books for him. He was a lawyer in his spare time, and a publisher, a man that we can all be proud of knowing, William Walker Atkinson. All right. Yes, and we have a bibliography of his books at the ironwood.org, I believe, and someone will put that list up in the chat room.
He's an underrated and underappreciated author in my mind.
Yeah. So the idea here is that when you are working with money, you are working with it as an ally.
Yeah.
And I think this is the key here. A lot of people come from a puritanical background where money is a cause of trouble, right? Love of money is the root of all evil. And love of money is the root of all evil is a saying, but they forget the love of part, and they just say, money is the root of all evil. Uh-uh. No, no, no. That's bad. Love of money is the root of all evil, but really what that means is greedy love of money is the root of all evil. You shouldn't love money. You should have a system in which money is your friend and ally or your servant, if you wish, but it is it is working for you. Okay? Now, we have certain things in hoodoo, and we're going to briefly here get to hoodoo. We have certain allies in hoodoo that are spiritual allies that come from the mineral world, the botanical world, and the zoological world. And these have reputations for working for money, manifesting money through these things. It's not all just new thought in hoodoo, the primary one being a lodestone. Lodestones draw things, you know, they're like a natural mineral magnet, and they draw. And when you show the manifestation by sprinkling them with magnetic sand, which is called feeding them, you're actually giving them something, and then you ask them in return to work for you. Lodestone, as I feed you, so will you feed me. Right? And they will draw money for you. So let's just talk briefly about a couple of other things that are used to attract money. Marin, can you give us some others besides lodestones?
Oh, well, absolutely, and I'm kind of going to go down the list of what you may just have in your kitchen cupboard because it's, like I said earlier, not that complex. Cinnamon is probably my number one. It's sweet. It's used as a sweetening tool also in romance workings as well, but it's drawing money to you in a positive way. It's also going to draw money to you quickly. Five-finger grass is one of my favorites because as a reader and working with cards, I am using my hands on a regular basis. So five-finger grass is there to bring you money for all things that you do with your hands, the five fingers, your hands. So I incorporate that very often. Also mint. If I am doing a working, I always add a hint of mint, because it protects your money. So even though you may be bringing in the money, I like to protect it as well once I have it. Let's see. Oh, and Hoyt's cologne, I'd say that's probably very standard, very traditional.
Oh, yes.
Let's see what else? The Chinese rice, different names for the green rice. Often you'll see green rice packaged with shredded up little dollar bills. I'm not sure how you package it there, Kat.
That's how
do you
we
do it like
it.
That? Oh, you do? Okay.
In fact, as far as I know, we were the first person to do that since the 60s or 70s because they'd stopped shredding the dollar bills in it. I got mad and I thought, man, anyone can make rice, but I got to shred it. Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, those are fun. Okay. That's definitely one of the products that you would get at Lucky Mojo or a Hoodoo store. But
yeah,
it's unique and it's fun if you do want to draw in some money.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for getting us started on this topic. There's a lot more to say.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a little break and we'll come back. Our first caller is going to be calling from 520 Arizona. We don't have any pre-signed up callers, so we're going to take them from the queue. It'll be a little different today.
Oh.
And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali. And this week's special guest, Marin Graves, will be right back. And we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Caller from 520 Arizona, are you there?
It's me.
Hi, me. What would you like to be referred to on the air, please?
Dream catcher.
Dreamcatcher. Okay, Dreamcatcher.
Yeah.
Now, Dreamcatcher, we had you, honey, in the forum, but then you your post was deleted. So
it was.
You want me to go ahead and so I'm pulling you back up, sweetheart. Your post was deleted, and then it says changed my mind. So I'm going to go ahead and pull you up based on
actually,
what we had. Okay.
No, I think it was supposed to be Samantha that deleted it. I was the second one to sign up.
I see it here, Miss Tammy Lee. If you, it's the one that begins a friend of the family. It's here. It's live online.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, that's me.
I'm going to go ahead and read what we've got, darling. Okay, if that's all right with Miss Kat and with you. Okay. Yeah, and let them know that you were on the air previously, that you are also a client of either Ms. Kat or Conjugal Lease. As of 2014, you have been on the air previously, and that I do remember just from notes. Mm-hmm. And you write, a friend of the family was kidnapped in Mexico. We feel he is still alive. We are at a loss of what to do because the Mexican FBI will not get involved unless we know exactly where he is. Guidance is desperately needed to protect him and find the resources to bring him home. Turning it back over to you.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. That's a terrible, terrible tragedy. I'm so, so sorry to hear that. So let me ask you a couple of questions. How long ago did this event occur?
It was. It's going to be a month.
A month. And there's been no word from kidnappers asking for money or anything like that, or has there?
No, there has not, which leads us to believe it was a mistaken identity situation.
Okay, I got a couple more questions. I just want to kind of hone in on this because I got a lot of Mexico to look at. Was the person who was kidnapped, were they Hispanic or a Spanish speaker, or were they Anglo-American?
He was Hispanic.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was he from Mexico originally?
I'm sorry?
Was he from Mexico originally?
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. All righty. So I'm going to do a three-card cut, and I'm going to see if they are still alive and or not and where they are. And I know you want guidance. This is a hard thing because it's, you know, you're going right, and I got to give you credit for going right out on the air with something that may be a difficult thing. Okay.
Okay.
So, man. Okay. First card I have is a card that is called the King of Wands. Now, the King of Wands is sometimes referred to as the weak or ineffective king of our four kings. He's the king who looks into the past, doesn't really do a lot. He's associated with magical work through fire, and he's associated with physical health. But as it comes to the government, because kings do represent rulership, he is fairly weak. And this says to me that you're right, the Mexican FBI will not get involved. They are taking a laissez-faire look, and if anything at all. And this is not very hopeful, okay? It doesn't show help coming from that area at all, at all. There's no help coming from that area. The second card is the Hanged Man. Now, the Hanged Man is a man who is hung upside down by his foot. He's not hung until he's dead. So the man may not be dead. He may be captured. The man is shown in the Hanged Man card with his hands tied behind his back, hung by one foot from a tree. It's a symbol of sacrifice, but it's also called the symbol of the traitor. And you think it is mistaken identity. You may be right, but whoever they thought they had or why they thought they had this person, that person had done something that was... they consider they had the right to punish this person. The man that is hung by his foot has a halo around his head, and we sometimes say he's innocent of the charges, but he is unable to get back on his own. He really is not in good condition. The card is not usually considered a card of death. It's a card of being bound, restrained, and unable to free yourself. It's not a good card in this condition of being kidnapped, because it does say that there is not much hope here for him to be freed by himself. However, mm-hmm. I would say that it does show the possibility that he may be alive. Now, my Italian Renaissance Tarot friends are going to go, no, you know the hangman usually is considered a symbol of death. But in the modern Tarot, people don't see it that way. And I'm a little concerned, because in the older Renaissance Tarot, we always say that his arms are broken and there are physical injuries associated with this card. And I'm concerned that we see here a card that in its original version, not the Rider-Waite version that I have, shows a man who has been, we would call, displayed in a certain way, and that way is broken. Okay, so I'm trying to give you some difficult news here.
Okay.
The third card is I'm not really seeing a way out of this situation. I wish I could say I was seeing a way out of the situation, but I'm not. The third card is the card of conflict. It's the Five of Wands. This shows people fighting with each other randomly. People just, you know, and we know in Mexico right now there's a lot of this, you know, random killings and random drug war stuff. I mean, Mexico has taken a giant leap backwards into the Stone Age, as far as I'm concerned. You almost can't believe, compared to what Mexico was like 20 years ago, what it's like right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a free-for-all. This is a fight of people hitting each other with sticks, banging each other around. And the best I could say is that as far as trying to find where the person is, I would say the sticks can represent a wooded area. They can represent, and that we have a tree with this, that the guy is hung from, which has is again its wood. And we have a King of Wands. So we have two Wands cards, and we have a man hung from a tree. And so I would say that one of the possibilities that we're looking at in this is a name of a place or a physical place that is associated with woods, forests, lumber, trees, sticks. Like if it was California, I'd say Palo Alto. I mean, I'm looking, you know, meaning
okay.
tall sticks, yeah. But there's certainly going to be some place in Mexico that rings a bell with this. An area of wood. Wood is associated with this. The problem that I see here is there is no stabbing here that I see, and there is also no shooting. These are all wands, but there is a lot of beating and hitting and breaking of bones. Okay, so I'm not convinced the person is alive. If he is dead, he was absolutely innocent of whatever they thought he did. It was, like you said, mistaken identity. But he fell in with a gang of people who are randomly striking out and striking everybody, and they are basically involved in what might be called a gang warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So
yeah.
It's not a very hopeful run of cards, I'm sorry to say. All right, I'm going to turn this over to Marin and see what she says.
Thank you, and thank you, Bianca, for listening. I know that this may be difficult to hear. Did you have a comment? I thought you started to say something.
I did. I just wanted to mention that he was taken by corrupted police officers.
Yeah.
So that probably has to do with a lot with the King.
The King. That's the King I'm seeing. That's
yeah.
the government. Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I have some similarities to the reading that Ms. Kat just gave you, and I am using the Wild Unknown Tarot deck to interpret this for you. I've got a couple questions that would help me clarify this. Are you comfortable giving me his first name?
Yes. His first name is actually Jose Guadalupe.
Okay. And does he, what is your relationship to him?
He's just a family friend. He's married to a cousin.
Okay. Because I keep seeing a female, I'm just getting there is one opportunity where there will be a discovery or a location, and it is by a female. And so it's either going to be a wife or a mother or sister, somebody very, very immediately connected to him. She's the one that would hold the information or the key or would have the small scope of success that I see in locating him. But I want to back up for just a second and let you know that I concur with everything Ms. Kat said as far as the beating, what has happened. I get an additional hit of information where they're telling me that this was a betrayal. So he knew these people. I don't see that it was outright mistaken identity, but I feel like he newly started running with this crowd, and I feel like he got in over his head. I'm not digging too deep to see if it's pertaining to any illegal activity or if it was labor, but I just keep seeing this sense of you owe us, you owe us. And I feel like this is a very new group of people. Like Ms. Kat said, I get that it's a group. I believe that there's about 4 or 5 people involved in this. And I have another question about, I keep getting a message about a restaurant that has a larger storage area beneath the restaurant. Did he just recently begin any work, or does he have a new friend that is owning and operating a restaurant?
I'm not too sure. I can relay this information to the wife, though.
You just hit the nail on the head, because the female is the one that would be able to solve this or get closer to the situation. My concern is the neglect factor, the malnourishment factor. I don't see that there has been any stabbing as well. I don't see that there's been a substantial level of torture, but I see the weakness. I see the sense of just almost delusional. His mind is not of this realm right now, and I think that's because of the starvation and because of the physical wounds that have been inflicted. I do have to mention, though, that I get the Five of Cups, and the Five of Cups is, it's a sad card. It's a heavy card. It is representative of this misfortune, and all of your the three cups are tipped down and they're spilt, and all of your abundance is spilt out of the cups. However, behind the gentleman standing in the Five of Cups card, if I was looking at a Rider-Waite tarot deck, there are two cups that are upright that are still full of the abundance if you just turned around and noticed them. So that Empress, that female that I get, if she just turned around and started looking literally in her own backyard and people that she knew or a new group that he ran with that was involved with a restaurant, that's where I see your hit and lead is, and I feel like you've got to act quick. In addition to the Five of Cups being an indicator of grief and sorrow, I also use it as a time indicator is what I'm being told, and I'm really good with timelines that I feel like you've got until the beginning of May. I mean, this is something where it will unfold in that tragedy that the Five of Cups represents if it's not acted upon very, very quickly.
Okay. Yeah, both of us have 5 cards, and the 5th month is May. That's what she's saying. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Ali. What can be done?
In a case like this, there's a couple things that you can do. First, I want to ask you religiously: are you Catholic, and is he Catholic?
We are all Catholic.
We're all okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's important because it'll tailor some of my suggestions for you. What I want you to do is I want you to make a lamp. Okay, and I want you to make an oil lamp, and you are going to, in this oil lamp, you're going to put bay, you're going to put some devil's shoestring to tie up the devil, you're going to put some white mustard seeds, I want you to put some ginger, I want you to put some basil. Then I want you to go and find medallions for the following saints. I want you to get a St. Michael medallion, a Nino de Atocha medallion, who helps people that are kidnapped or imprisoned, especially if they're wounded. And I also want you to go to the cemetery. See if you can find an ancestor of his, someone who is related to him that will be inclined to help bring him back. And you are going to go and you're going to petition this ancestor, and you're going to ask the spirit help. And you're going to ask the spirit to come quickly, to move swiftly, and find him wherever he is and return him safely home. You're going to purchase the graveyard dirt, and you're going to add that to the oil lamp, just a little bit, okay? Now, I also want you to take Psalms 27 and Psalm 64, and I want you to dissolve these, write this on rice paper or any type of surface you want, and dissolve this into the oil lamp as well. Pray into it, seal the oil lamp up, and you're going to light it with prayers and keep it in a windowsill, all right, or by the front door so that it draws him back. Do this work and keep the oil lit, keep the flame going for as long as it takes. If you think you have a deadline of May, keep it going until May. But you are going to keep pouring oil into that, praying over it, keep trimming the wick, but you keep that flame going to draw him back home. This is a powerful work. I've done this work before with cases like this, and it works. And it works really well, especially if you work with these spirits. I also would consider, if you work in the folk Catholic tradition, to consider working with Santissima Muerte. I don't always give this recommendation out. It's very rare for me to do so, actually, because not many people are comfortable working with that tradition, and it's not their cultural background. But Santissima Muerte is the spirit that works specifically on corrupted cops, people in danger of their lives, and she can help people at the last minute. If you're not comfortable working with Santissima Muerte, consider St. Jude, another person who was very powerful in desperate situations like this.
May I throw in one more saint? I want to throw in San Ramon Nonatus, the bail bondsman saint. And he was also the one who got prisoners who had been captured and kidnapped in the Crusades. He got them freed. Mm-hmm. San Ramon, St. Raymond.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's a fantastic addition. But working with the saints, working with the ancestor of this individual, and working with the oil lamp is the way to go. Do this, and this will give you the best chance. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The cards that have been pulled are not exactly the best of cards. So this working will give you the best spiritual chance you have at turning the situation around, okay?
Okay. All right. Wow. I'm really sorry to have to be the bearer of bad news, and we all seem to be kind of sad about this one. It is a difficult one, and we've given you the best work and the best prayers. I would also understand that Ali mentioned an oil lamp rather than Vigilite, but you could use Vigilite if you wish, but you need to keep them continually going between now and May. An oil lamp would be something that you can light and then refill the reservoir of, and that's more perpetual, a perpetual light. You can get the holy cards and put them out around the lamp. Some people will do them in a little array of all of the saints, or put them up in little picture frames. You want all of those saints present. You've got quite a lot of work to do here, and I wish you all the best. It's a very sad case, and we hope we can be of help.
Thank you very much. Very appreciated.
I agree. You can use this as using vigil candles as well. The reason I recommended an oil lamp is it's easier to contain all the items that I have given. But you can alter it. For example, if you use the vigil, do what Kat says, and rather than putting the medallion or medal into the reservoir, put out their prayer cards.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Bianca,
all right.
Hold on one
all
second
right.
before we cut. I just wanted to say I invite you to friend me on Facebook, and I will continue to follow this. I would love to be able to see updates and let you know if I get anything further. I've done some of this work before, and I've kind of taken a particular interest in this, so let me know.
Okay. All right. So friend Maureen Graves on Facebook. Okay, we've got to cut it off there.
Okay.
We don't have a caller pressing 1 for our next call. So we need to get somebody either in the chat room or whatever. Your chance, press 1, and you will get a free reading. If you don't press 1, you're going to just hear us talking for the next few minutes. So somebody I know wants a free reading. Maybe it's Papa Newt. Maybe it's Vicky Trancho. Huh? I know somebody has a question. All right. Oh, we got one. 202.
And y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next new client, who is calling in from area code 202 from, I believe, Washington, D.C. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Great. Well, welcome to the show. And what would you like to be called on the air, please?
You guys can call me Rudy.
Rudy. Okay. Well, welcome to the show, Rudy. And Rudy, in two or three sentences, if you could please, tell us why you're calling for our host panel and how can we help you today, please?
I would like to know what 2015 looks like for the next couple months.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So you're ready.
Well, my first question for you is, was it Ruby with a B or Rudy with a D?
Whatever you guys want. Rudy or Ruby? Ruby I like.
we get to choose, you mean?
Yeah, it's a nickname, so hey.
Okay, it's just a fake name. Okay. We're going to go with Ruby. I like Ruby. You like that one? Now, Ruby, what is your sign of the zodiac?
Okay, I'm a Scorpio with a moon in Pisces.
Okay, Scorpio with moon in Pisces, I think Ruby is good for you because Scorpio is the night house of Mars, okay? Ruby's red. All right, so I'm going to turn this over to Countryman Ali. Maybe you can give us one of those Kata El Ramal readings for the year for Ruby.
I wish I could, but given that I don't have time to cast the chart, I've instead done something similar. I have pulled 12 cards, so I am doing a similar life, you know, reading, if you will, or year reading, but I'm doing it with the cards.
Okay.
And I can't go through the entire wheel here. There are 12 houses, after all, it will take forever. But I have pulled a few cards that are pretty important, and I'm going to bring them up in the reading itself. First and foremost, I'm going to talk about your second house, which is money. The Hanged Man comes up here, and this is a little bit of cause of concern. This tells me that money in the next few months is going to start to get tightened up. If you haven't already seen it happen, it will happen shortly. These may come in the form of unintended or unexpected expenses, things that cause money to go out but not to come in. So you'll find your finances getting caught up and tied up in various things. So there's not going to be a lot of extra funds available for you. This isn't a devastating card in this particular situation. It doesn't mean you're going to go broke, or it doesn't mean that all your finances are going to end up being completely wiped out, but it does mean your finances are going to get tied up and that there are going to be some expenses that are going to tie your finances up. So be aware of that. When this card comes up in the second half, so I always tell people, now is the time to set aside money for a rainy day or for an emergency. So start setting aside, even in addition, even if you have a savings account, even if you have all this, I always say something extra, just a little bit here or there, set aside so that when it comes up, you're able to go, all right, I know exactly what is going on. Here's my money. I don't have anything to worry about it.
Okay.
The other thing that I have here that is just a little bit cause for concern is the in the fifth house, in the sixth house, we have the Five of Swords. And the Five of Swords indicates some health complications that you should be aware of, specifically revolving around the chest, perhaps, also the body kind of turning on itself and being unable to fight something off. This usually kind of indicates an infection of sorts or a viral infection, the inability to fight off the illness or the sickness or the infection. So this coming up in the sixth house is a little bit of cause for concern, but this also can be staved off by going and seeing a doctor, making sure you stay on top of your health, and doing some preemptive remedial work, making sure you take care of yourself, making sure that you take on, if you need antibacterials or whatnot, you do consider those. But be mindful of your health. Now that we've gotten the issues out of the way, the kind of things that pop up and I go, huh, you should be aware of that. Now let's look at some of the more positive aspects that come up in your chart. First and foremost, I have the Star card in the 11th house. This is a fantastic card to have in the 11th house. It speaks of new blossoming friendships, friendships that are going to bring emotional satisfaction for you, that are going to inspire creativity, that are going to bring about a new phase in your social life, so to speak. So the Star card is a card of blessing, and it's coming up directly in the 11th house, the house of friendship, the house of dreams. The connections that you're going to be making and the friendships that you're going to develop over the next few months, and I sense that it's going to be with another female, maybe someone that from your past that's reintroduced again, or maybe someone new, but this person is actually going to inspire creativity on your end and also inspire you to relook at your own dreams and your wishes and your hopes, the things that you wish that you had done in your life or the things that you wish you will do in your life, and relook at them and ask yourself what you can do to bring them into manifestation. So it is a period of self-reflection, and it's going to come about thanks to this introduction with a new friend. The next thing that comes up that I consider very significant is the 9th house, the Page of Pentacles. There is going to be, this does not indicate travel or a lot of heavy travel here, but it does tell me that you're going to have some new experiences in regards to education. If you've ever considered furthering your education, or if you've ever considered taking on some type of certification class or training class for work or career, this will be the time to do it in the next few months, because there's going to be some great opportunities for that. The Page of Pentacles is what's known as the scholarly page. So great opportunities there. The timing is right for it. Consider it. And that's what I have here. I'm going to turn it over to my colleagues to see if they have anything to add to that.
Great.
Thank you, Conjure Man. I've got a question regarding the very beginning of this year. Was there a change in your relationship status? Was there a separation or a breakup?
Yes.
Okay, because that's the very first thing that I'm getting, and it's strongest for me at the month of January. And I'm going to tell you just really directly what I get, because it's been a domino effect since there. I do also agree with Conjure Man, so I will give you the positive after I address the negative.
Okay.
So starting with January onward, I get the breakup, the separation. Launching into February, it was, for those familiar with the Nine of Swords, that's the worst nightmare card. Emotionally, that was the entire focus for that month, was emotional, was grieving, was confusion, loss, what's going to happen. Followed by March, were there extreme financial concerns, or did you find yourself feeling like I can barely live, or I can barely survive,
yeah,
or where am I going? Because I get you literally like feeling either homeless or I'm not going to make it. I can't survive. I don't have money. Even worse, I need to understand the month of April. Were you concerned that you were pregnant, or did you it's inappropriate to answer or pry, but I'm getting worry or concern about the month of April, and without having to go into anything about the fate of a child, were you pregnant, or did you feel that you were pregnant or test pregnant?
No, that's impossible.
Do you have a child?
No, but my good friend that I actually parted ways with had a child. I felt like she was my little sister, and I was really worried about her son. So that relationship has ended, and my concern is I'm a little bit worried about this young little boy that is kind of like homeless right now with her. So I have no connection with her anymore, and that's it.
Okay. Were you in a role on a day-to-day basis where you took care of this child, or was it just distantly, occasionally you were the friend, or you were...
No, I was really close to her. I was just really close to her as a good friend, as a mentor, and just worried about where she needed, you know, like where she needed a job, she needed shelter, somewhere to stay, you know. But she never stayed with me because it was just too much with her drama. So,
you know what? I'm sorry. I just got alerted that this is April. So if you remember, I was getting January, February, March. I wasn't even thinking that we're still in the month of March.
Yes.
So this is in April. I hope that I said that at the beginning of the interpretation.
About, yeah.
because that's, I keep getting a pregnancy or a child. I appreciate you trying to provide that information, but I'm still getting that's not it. That's not the fit that I'm looking for. So there's something concerning me with your direct role as a mother. I just don't think it's your mother. I keep feeling that it is you in that capacity of being a mother.
Maybe it's my dog or my cats. That's the only thing I could think of as being as a mother, my cat.
No, it's a child, very, very young child. I feel like it's like an infant. So this is more of a scenario where it may not resonate and it may not fit, but keep in mind that that's a big warning or a big caution I'm getting, not in such a positive way, but is in one more burden, like one more difficulty, because I see the sadness, I see the separation, I see the money, and now this gets added to the mix. It's like now I've got an infant.
Could it be that I'm aware that I may not have any children, and I was hoping to have children, and now I know that I may never have children? Could that be it?
In other words, what you're asking about, is this a spiritual child sad that it cannot manifest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Because the client has said she it's impossible for her to have children.
Okay. I would describe this most accurately as you being a mother taking care of a child. That's what I keep seeing.
Well, the only thing is, if girl gets in trouble, she goes to jail, and then all of a sudden no one wants to take care of this child, and I end up with this child. That's the only thing I could think of.
That's much more of a possibility. That's more closer to a hit than anything that you've mentioned. And
if I can just jump in real quick here, too.
Sure.
It's also quite possible that that it may not click right now. Just bear in mind in the future, this happens in readings. You don't have to rationalize a reading or justify a reading or try to find a way to connect. Just bear it in mind that something in April along the lines of these themes may come up. So that's something that I always tell clients, is that you may not understand it. Just bear in mind in the next few weeks, it may all of a sudden click. That's just all what I'm going to say real quick.
Yeah, because we're not in April yet. And so trying to guess what Marin is seeing.
Yeah.
When a reader reads for you, and this is a good point about all readers, when a reader reads for you and it's for the future and you say, well, I can't have a child, we don't know yet where this is all going. So she sees it.
Right.
She's either, you know, accurate or she's less than accurate. But that's what she sees. But it is for April, not for this month. Okay? So there may be further news of this child, of the person that you recently had the breakup with. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Well,
okay.
Continuing on from April, I still get the streak of the disappointment that you have encountered, and that is the Nine of Cups upside down. It is still bogging you down. It's still I have to clarify, too, that this is really not just in your head. This isn't something where I see that this is exaggerated or that you don't have a means. I see that this is genuine. Like, you are really hitting some hard times financially, and where are you going to stay? The relationship feels like it is not reconciling throughout this period. All the way up to June, I still see this relationship as not present, no support, not there. When I get into the later half, and I know you only asked for the next few months, but when I get into the later half of this year, July, August, that's when I see the ta-da. That's when I finally see the breakthrough and the happiness, and I really believe it's a new relationship. I just continue to see the King of Pentacles reverse, somebody not in the picture that's here supporting you, and a new relationship coming in very beginning of July, and by August, that's the happily ever after time frame. That's when you can really say this is all behind you, but I'm honestly telling you, it is rough, and what you're feeling is true, and I'm so sorry about this situation. You've got to hang on and ride this one out.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look at some root work we can do. First of all, this breakup that you had, it seems like you had a position where you were trying to help somebody who was incapable of being helped.
Yes.
So, and there's been some conversation here by the readers that you may not have fully released this, if you know what I'm saying. You know,
yes.
You know, there's still, it's still in your mind. So I would like you to do a bit of a releasing work. Some people would say, hey, make her do a cut and clear spell. And you could do a cut and clear for this woman and her child, but I wouldn't necessarily say that is the only thing you could do. You can look up cut and clear spells. It's luckymojo.com/cutandclear.html, all one word, all lowercase. And you can understand why a cut and clear spell might be good work to do. But there's also the possibility here that you want to do a little bit of a guiding light for them and then send them on their way. And one way that people do this is to just, you know, light a small candle. I'm not talking about a glass vigil candle, but get a small candle to represent, maybe a small candle for the child whom you're worried about too, and light them. And you can put a ring of salt around them, put them on a white plate, use little star candle holders, and just pray the 23rd Psalm and say, may you go in peace, may you find a place to be, may all be well with you, may you be protected wherever you go. When the candles burn down, take the salt and the candle stub wax. You can save the little star holders. And just take it to a crossroads and just offer it or take it to running water and say, wherever you go in this world, some people like a crossroads where a railroad track crosses if it's about traveling away from you.
Yes.
Wherever you go in the world, know that I have done my best to protect and love you and hold you in my heart. If you come back cleansed and clean. That's it, you know.
Cool.
But
okay.
you need to do something to get that gone. Now, as for your financial work, we've been talking about money spells, and so we're not going to add a root work about that at this particular moment because we've done a money spells, and there's going to be another money spell in the free spells. But just take a look at what we've been talking about, and go to luckymojo.com and go to the free spells archive. There's a whole lot of money spells there. Links to a whole lot of money spells.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, and then the third one was the issue of the ninth house, which had to do with training, certification, possibly travel.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a work that you would want to do some road opening for yourself. I mean, this isn't only about other people and about the effect of the breakup. I'd like to see you do a road opening candle for yourself and open your roads to whatever new work is going to come in, especially new love and affection in your life. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Now let's see if we got a minute here. Marin or Ollie, do you have anything to add to the root work aspect here?
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
I am concerned about my health. I think Conjurman Ollie was hit the head on the nail pretty good because I do have a lot of problems with ailments. I'm always thinking I got cancer or something, and I am going to go to the doctor.
Oh, I missed that one, the health problems. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm going to tell you on that then. First of all, do you have a good doctor that you're being cared for by?
No, and actually I'm looking for a new one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's very important.
So what I want you to do, if you don't find it difficult to work with Catholic entities, although he is not a saint, I'd like to call upon Dr. Jose Gregorio Hernandez. And he was a doctor, lived in Venezuela. He died. You can read all about him in our website or elsewhere online. There's many pages about him now. And he is the spiritual entity who brings a good doctor and an accurate diagnosis to you. Okay, so
okay.
I like to work with him. I'm not very much for working with saints because I'm not a Catholic, but this guy isn't a saint. He's just Dr. Hernandez. He's a folk spirit or folk saint. Give him a try.
The spirit of the people for the people.
Yeah. He was a guy who did free medical work for people, and he was a real guy, and he helps you find the right doctor. That's where we're going to start.
Okay.
You're all listening to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, and we're going to come back after a couple of announcements with our free spell, and this is going to be on the subject of money manifestation and with our guest, Marin Graves.
You are listening to another fine production of the LMC Radio Network, whose art and information may be found on its webcast shows. The LMC Radio Network is a community radio alliance of metaphysical, spiritual, inspirational, and political justice broadcasters, spanning a wide range of topics. On Mondays, get ready for Candelo's Corner. Starring Candelo Cambisa and Malik Cambisa, this is the voice of authentic Cuban Palo and Dominican Sanse in the United States, with special guests representing the entire range of African traditional and diasporic religions. You can hear Candelo's Corner Monday evenings from 5 to 7 Pacific Time. On Tuesdays, a pair of outstanding hosts point the way to essential values. First, on the Crystal Silence League Hour, John St. Germain provides spiritual guidance in the practical use of crystals and crystal balls for the development of mental concentration, mind power, divination, and telepathic communication. His show airs Tuesday evenings from 5 to 6 o'clock Pacific Time. Once you have your bearings, engage in activism and social justice in the streets with Beverly Smith. Beverly brings listeners front-page reports on the ongoing struggle for racial, gender, and social justice, shedding much light on civil and social rights issues. Her cry for freedom begins at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and inspires us for 1 hour. On Wednesdays, Andrea Weston's Liquid Libations pour forth to bless us with poetry, short stories, and spoken word performances. If you are a poet or someone who simply enjoys the beauty and power of words, then Liquid Libations welcomes your participation. Call in and read your work. Listen for Liquid Libations on Wednesdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. On Thursdays, from deep in the heart of Texas, it's the Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield. In a variety show laced with country wit and biblical wisdom, the silver-tongued professor shares his knowledge of roots and delivers the lucky numbers. From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, there's no end to the surprises. And on Saturdays, Kai Armand broadcasts On Sacred Ground, a tapestry of our times, comprising history, ethnography, and shamanism, featuring the voices of the land and the deceased, aided by scholars, spirit workers, and environmentalists. Kai's show airs from noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time. All shows on the LMC Radio Network are sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, located in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Tax and license may apply. Train departure times and Burma Shave signs subject to change without notice. LMC.
And y'all, next up right now, as a matter of fact, we've got Marin Graves of maringraves.com. Manifesting money. And here she goes, Marin Graves.
Thank you. So we're going to talk money. And I have a very creative, very fun working for those that like to be crafty. It's a little complex, though. So I ended up creating a file with pictures that I just posted a link for, so you can follow along. I was up till 3 in the morning last night finishing this because I wanted you guys to be able to visually see this. So if there's typos, disregard them. You needed this today.
So, okay, wait. Before we stop. Before we go, because the people are listening on air in the archive, a link in the chat room will not work. So we got to give that link. It's facebook.com/Marin Graves Psychic. Now, this is different than the Marin Graves Facebook page. This is her professional page, Marin Graves Psychic, and psychic is spelled P-S-Y-C-H-I-C. And you're going to look for posts, and the post is a long string of numbers. Is there a way that they're going to be able to find that when they get to Marin Graves Psychic?
It is either on Marin Graves Psychic. I just now posted it on Facebook.com/Marin Graves. So either one, it's right
okay.
On my news feed first thing you'll see.
Okay, so it'll also be at Facebook.com/Marin Graves. Okay, so if you're listening, if you can't find it because too many years have passed since you heard this show, and we know people listen to these shows years from now, hit her up on Facebook. She's going to be on Facebook, Marin Graves, and then friend her and ask her where's the link. Okay, all right, onward.
Thank you. Thanks, Kat. So begin with your supplies. I'm going to list them really quickly, gathering 2 green vigil candles. The herbs that I used in this for manifesting money like I described earlier, I'm not going to get back into all of the meanings and significance, but I used mint, I used gold magnetic sand, cinnamon, some orange peel, and star anise. And the reason why I use the star anise is because that is for intuition and gifts. And since I'm a reader and my folk drawing in more money through root work and readings, I wanted to add that aspect of it. So I have my two green candles. I've prepared them and dressed them. I blessed them, and I've got them lined up next to each other. Now, this is where it's a little bit tricky, so I'm going to walk you through it. It's a corded working. So I'm attaching a ribbon to the money candle, and I wrap the ribbon seven times up that candle, and then I cut it and tape it down. So the reason why I'm doing that is because the candle is going to burn for 7 days, and this way I can monitor it as it's burning down. Next, I take my candle that represents me. I set that right next to it. I take off the tape and the yarn or string from the money candle, and I transfer it over to the me candle, and I twist it once. The pictures are so important to see this. So day by day, each approximate 24-hour period, you are going to spin the candles clockwise. Clockwise is invoking and bringing to you. So you are literally rotating each candle, and if you can imagine this or you're looking at the picture, you will see that the ribbon is transferring from one candle, the money candle, bringing it to the candle that represents you with your picture on it or your name. At the completion of this working, you will have had all of the seven wrappings from the money candle completely transfer onto your candle, receiving abundance, receiving blessings, and I think that's about all. I'm giving you the really quick version so you can not get too bogged down in the details. Ideally, this candle, as you view it upon completion, it will be clear. The glass will be clear. There won't be rings of glass. It's not going to have layers and layers representing obstacles or problems. The better the outcome is dependent upon how clear that glass is as they're completing. If you look down onto, I titled it number six, box number six, you'll see that that candle representing me is really hot. That flame's gigantic. There's a little bit of a wall of resistance on that candle, but I anticipate that that's going to get hot, it's going to melt away, and it's going to be a really good sign, a good omen for me that there is money coming my way. Another tip about this work that I did is I put it on top of my rack card, my little advertisement card. This way it is giving the foundation of my business that is going to generate this income. So instead of just having I want money, I'm looking for money, designate where you're hoping that money is going to come from. It's going to give you more of a chance of success in the working.
Okay, we're going to have to end it there.
We do. Thank you.
We got our music coming up, and that means it's the end of the show is in sight. So let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to give us our final word.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Marin Graves. MarinGraves.com in Valley, California. And also Marin Graves, Gypsy Grounded in Reality, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. And his topic will be working with playing cards. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodie Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodie Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archives via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of a Memphis jug band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee, and thank you, Marin, for this incredible working with these twisted candles. I opened up the pictures. You have done a brilliant job, and it really has to be seen to be understood. You wind the money off the one candle and onto the other by sort of spinning them around. Beautiful, beautiful work. And please come back again on our show. You are going to be at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and you're going to be giving us some tips and tricks there. And are you going to be doing any readings?
I will. I have some hours set, so I hope to meet some of you.
All right. If you want a reading from Marin, come on out to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. All right, and thank you, Ollie.
Always a pleasure, Miss Kat.
It's lovely to have you here. All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.